Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Chris Bianchi. This one is a special, special, special episode because I just accepted a position at Chris's new label, which just started, called Legend, and I am senior A&R. So I haven't signed anyone just yet. I actually, after this interview, hopefully Chris and I will have a private phone call and hopefully we'll have some news soon, but I just want to give another special shout out to Chris because he's believing in me and taking a chance on me in this regard, and I've always wanted to do A&R work, so thank you. And another cool thing is that we actually had one of his coworkers, Dan Suriff, right to my left. I'm pointing at the seat. You can't see it. He manages Black Veil Brides and works for, you know, Zach Wilde at Mercenary Management, and Chris, who's going to be on the show in a few minutes, he also works for Mercenary Management. Chris is also a formerly signed musician who used to tour and play in a band, and I don't know, it's just really cool how many hats he wears. They were called Forever in Terror, and their name is very descriptive to how they sounded. So Fish and I started a band called Two Long Island Kids, and it's exactly how it sounds. Shitty. So basically, zing. Fish smiled. I honestly, like, Tom is tough, but Fish is really fucking tough. Like, he's a really tough crowd, and I'm scared every time I see him in a good and bad way. But don't get married, Fish. Stay young as long. Now he smiled again, two for two. So Chris also has his own management company called CB Entertainment, and he's a dad and husband. So we're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, the thing that binds us the most is Legend, so I'd like to even learn more about Legend. I know a little bit, and I'm learning more every day, but it existed before I was a part of it. So special shout-outs to Kristen, who is also senior A&R, and Cassie, who's doing a lot of the press help and wrote a really nice piece about me when they announced it. I was actually in between San Francisco and Sacramento at like a really shitty motel when that announcement happened, so it was really cool. Last week, I had to reschedule everything because I was on the road. I was on tour with a band I managed called Boomtown Crooks playing bass, and I love performing and playing bass, but I much, much prefer this very cushy six-figure radio job that I have at Adobe. It's like definitely, and Fish didn't laugh at that. So I'm going to leave on that note, but at any rate, thank you so much for listening to Waldman's Words every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock my time, which is Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time, which I believe would be Chris's time in Ohio. Correct me if I'm wrong, world. I mean, sometimes states have multiple time zones. I guess before we start, I'll just give the next few weeks. We have guests on the show that are booked. We've got Buck Foley at Riot Fest, who also manages Sleep On It, who's a really, really good pop punk band in this sea of pop punk bands. And Mike Fishkin, how do you pronounce Cubillos? How do you pronounce that?
Cubillos.
Mike Cubillos is on our show. He is PR for PR. He's a god in that world, and I'm honored that he even considered doing this show. We've got Zach Falco at CEG, which is a booking agency that actually reps Aaron Carter. So he's got a lot of experience, and I believe he recently graduated from NYU, so we could talk about NYU. And lastly, we got Ray Rolden, who I'd say is similar to Mike. How do you say his last name again?
Cubillos.
Cubillos. So Mike Cubillos, by the way, I know how to pronounce it, but I like hearing Fish talk. So basically, Mike Cubillos is a PR guy, and Ray is as well. He's actually was working with Britney Spears. And more recently, I know he did Yellow Card's final tour. So it's an awesome, awesome summer of Waldman's Words. And if you're at It's Not Dead Fest, look for Fish and I there, because we're going to be there rocking out to Rancid, Dropkick Murphys, and Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. So stick around, enjoy whatever is going to be played in between my voice and when we introduce Chris. Stay tuned. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Chris Bianchi of 10 Million Different Things. Say hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How did we meet, man? How did we actually get acquainted, if you will?
Off the top of my head, thinking about it, I believe we connected through, email, mutual friends, something along the lines of talking. I believe it was about producers, even. I think
Yep, you're
with
right.
Ross and yourself. I don't have the best memory of who or what project or how, but I
Paralandra,
think that's
Paralandra and Dave Dominguez.
There
That
it
was
is.
it.
Yes.
Sometimes I like to
Perfect.
test people, and sometimes they know and sometimes they don't. And I mean, it does technically, it kind of doesn't matter. It's kind of like the gateway drug that bound us together, but that's how we quote unquote met. And then, I mean, I'm not sure if we were Facebook friends before that. You know how Facebook is, but
Right.
you have quite a story. We actually have a similar story in that we were both in bands that had record deals and then pivoted to
Sure.
management, and we're both married, but you work for a much bigger management company than I do, and I just want to talk about your entire freaking life because it's cool. I think it's really
Sure,
cool.
sure. It's
So,
definitely been, a unique experience along the way, so.
I mean, that's such a political answer. It's been a unique experience along the way, and I'd like to thank everyone.
Right. At
Because
the end of the
everyone's
day, you
awesome.
have to, but right, no, of course, but yeah, it's been really cool. I started off in local bands and gigging around the local circuit, of course, and brought me to this path of where we are here today. So it's been a long time, I think, going on over 12 years,
Wow, that's almost a
in the
bar
music
mitzvah.
industry.
That's almost a bar mitzvah. That's the 13 years thing. But I guess let's go back a little bit before that. So, are you born and bred in Ohio? Like, is that your lineage? Is that everything? Because I don't
Yeah,
even know.
it definitely is. That's where I'm from, born in kind of a small town right on the outskirts of Cleveland. So, was born and raised here, and came up with a lot of rock and roll and stuff in the family. My grandfather was a jazz musician, so I was just always surrounded by it. And my parents, even from early ages, were not musicians, but just always heavily into music, going to concerts, listening to all kinds of great 80s hair metal and classic rock. So it was always something that was
Like
surrounded by
who?
me, I think, from day one.
Like, I mean, because obviously you happen to work for a company. I mean, this is gonna go all over the place because it's not as much of an A to B to C with you. I make a little outline for everyone, but you wear so many hats, and I love that.
Sure,
So this is gonna be a
sure.
more challenging slash interviewing. No, interviewing is not even a word in this sense. Interesting. I am interviewing you, but basically, I guess you're from Ohio. What bands? Like, are there any bands in that movement of, I guess, hard rock or metal that are localized that you fell in love with, or were you like a Sunset Strip, like Motley Crue, GNR guy?
Yeah, totally like Sunset Strip, I mean, I'd say that's mostly influenced by my mom, actually my dad's side as well, but Kiss is like my all-time favorite band ever,
Damn
ever since
right.
being a little kid. Just the image, the show, I think the same thing that stood out to everybody probably even in the 70s when they first came around, but that stood out to me. And then as I got a little older, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, I mean the list is
So you
endless
like
with
soft
that
rock.
kind of
You like soft rock. Like, that's what it
sure
sounds
sure
like. These
Yeah, and
bands all sound like Toto. It's perfect. This is great.
right. So that definitely bridged the gap for, I guess, what was to come in time. And then obviously, as I got a little older into my teen phase, my rebellious youth phase, that was like nu metal, learn Slipknot, fuck the world, and all kinds of great stuff
Another
from there.
Midwestern band. So, I mean, Iowa, the breadbasket, that's pretty cool that they came
Totally.
out of absolute nowhere and they could sell out the Staples Center now. It's stupid how big they are. Slipknot is probably, and you work more in, I guess, the hard rock world than I do. Would you say that they're probably one of the top 10 active bands in hard rock as far as like that could sell tickets? Because I would assume so.
Definitely.
I would assume
I would
so.
totally want to agree, and I think, just keeping that coolness going, with their theatrics and the show, and as well the music has been something that's stood the test of time with them, and it's still a great show. You never know exactly what you're gonna see, and I think that's awesome about them, and kind of continues that for them.
I've never seen them. I was supposed to go see. Well, I don't know if you remember. They did a tour, and it was a big tour. It wasn't like arenas, but it was big venues. They did a tour with Coheed opening,
Oh,
and I
wow. I don't
really
remember
wanted to go
that,
to
but that
that.
would have been awesome. What a package, or
What
a
do you th
pairing.
I love the pairing. I do. I don't know if like a lot of the Slipknot contingency. Do you think that they would have warmed up to Coheed, or do you think Coheed would have played like a heavier set? Because I don't know, like, because Coheed gets lumped in like the emo prog category, and I don't know if the people there would think that they're honestly for back of a, lack of a. For, I was gonna say for back of a letter word, but now I'm gonna
There
take
you
it
go.
to for lack of a better word that they would think that Coheed's kind of like pussy shit. Do you know?
Right. I mean, I think it's a tough sell. You know, it'd probably be a little bit of a tough one. I mean, it varies now, you know, with the festivals kind of crossing those boundaries more so now, and other things, you know, expanding people what they can see, you know, out there in one show. I think it would have been unique, especially at that time, depending how long ago it was. And I would have thought they probably would have played some heavier things, but yeah, that would have been a great package to see.
Well, let's go back in time and go together because I heard a rumor that you like Glassjaw, and they're not from Ohio, just so you know that. Like, my heart
Right.
is in Long Island, so that's what I'm saying there. So, okay, let's quit this digression. So, Ohio is what shaped you. Have you, with the exception of when you're on tour, which we'll get to number three on my list, Forever in
Nice.
Terror, have you lived in Ohio every day of your life?
Yeah, I have, you know, the same general area. I mean, you know, moved around the region, I guess you'd say. But yeah, I'm Ohio born and bred, and you
Fuck
know, I
yeah.
love it. I'm proud to be from Cleveland, and I think it's unique here. You know, it's trying to do something. You know, people either think a couple things of Cleveland, either it's like shit and a crappy town, and we have the Browns that always lose, or
I
you know,
don't
it's the
think that
home of rock
Cleveland's
and
a crappy
roll, or so we
town.
claim.
I've been to a
But
lot of crappy towns, and Cleveland's not one of them. I would say that in the state of Ohio, Cleveland's my favorite. And I don't know, I mean, you know this, but a lot of people don't. I had some of the best chili I've ever had in Cincinnati, ever, my
Oh, that's
entire
very cool.
life.
Yeah,
It's so
that's
good.
awesome. No, I mean, there's a lot of really unique things about this place, and I feel like from here, the thing that I always have loved, and especially as I've gotten older, being from here, is, you know, I'm that guy who's proud to be from Cleveland. I'll tell people that. You know, I try to hold it down for our city, so to speak. But you know, it's like we're a unique breed here. It's like nothing's given to us. You know, nothing's really
Same
handed
as
at
LA,
Vegas
dude. No one
elsewhere.
has nepotism in LA. No one. Absolutely no one. I'm being so sarcastic. I interrupted you to let you know that this is literally the nepotism capital of the universe. And
So
yeah, sorry, but I digress. So yeah, nothing's given to you. You work for it, you earn it. And I think you and I were talking about how entitled a lot of people are in 2017, and it's just good to know
right.
that you built it from your own shit, man. I mean, not your own feces, but you built it from your own stuff. So
Or
I love
try,
that.
yeah,
Well,
definitely
we're
try.
building it from our own shit. How is that? Is that better?
Exactly. I like it. I
Cool.
like it.
Cool. Well, I like you, and we've never even met in person. And I discussed this on my show many, many times, how crazy this industry is. Like, I'd say the
Sure.
person that I'm closest with in this industry, his name's Ross Robey, right? And we co-manage a bunch of producers together. And he lives on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. I have only seen him in person once. And I talk to him
Nice.
as almost as much, if not more, than I talk to my wife. It's
No, that makes
crazy.
sense. It's really cool with the industry, and that's something I do like about, you know, kind of our technology now that has progressed in time. It's nice to have that ability, be it video, text, Skype, to build a team. And even if you're not together, you thrive with those people, and that's something as well that, you know, I feel the same. And I think it's cool, and it's unique how we can build those relationships now digitally. And in some ways, I do want to say I love it, you know, obviously. But then there's that little piece. I don't want to say I'm too old yet, but there's that little old school mentality piece of me that's still like, I still
You mean
prefer,
the
you
snail
know,
mail mentality?
that personability, you know, meeting in person, shaking hands, hanging out. But in time, you build that, and it's almost so cool to when you do hang out with those people in person. You know, over time, you like know them. You're comfortable when you do finally get to meet and everything. So.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, 'cause yeah, Ohio's great and Cleveland's great, but it's I admittedly and you would I highly doubt you'll disagree with me. The three music hubs nationally are
Sure.
Los Angeles, New York, and Nashville. So when
Of
people
course.
think about, you know, music industry, they seldom think of Ohio. So obviously,
Right.
there's plenty of bands that come out of Ohio. You know, Hawthorne Heights, Hawthorne Heights, Hawthorne Heights. But you know, it's different. And I have a band on In Vogue Records, shout out to Nick Moore, you know, from Finley. So it's like,
No, totally. And I love Nick and the label, the movement they have going on. It's another, Ohio based thing, and they're killing it. They have some incredible bands and awesome things going on, and I'm happy that he stuck around, and stayed true to our state.
yeah, well, your state has a lot of incredible things, but I guess what I like most about it, and again, I love LA. I really do. I love a lot of California. I do, but I feel that there's just something different about, like, I guess the best thing I could say is like a Midwestern meal. You know, it's just like the people there are just more quote unquote homey, but not like homey like yo, you're my homie, like homey like a home familial thing. So I love that.
And it is. It's really nice. That's a thing I prefer. I like that kind of vibe and feel of things. So that's all I know, basically.
It is. It's all you know. But you chose to make it that way. I mean, you're a capable adult. You could have, you know, before you. Obviously, now you have a daughter, and we can get into that, or a son, or 83 kids. Did I fuck up?
So, yeah, I have a son.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? It's 2017, so they might identify differently. But I'm sorry. I screwed
No,
up.
that's all
I screwed up. Okay, so, sorry. Your name is Christina Bianchi, and I really appreciate you being on the show. And this is
I'm
this.
honored.
You should be. No, all kidding aside, sorry for the goof. You have a son, a very manly son, and manly in quotes. It could be whatever he wants. But the thing is that you could have lived anywhere. You could have moved. I don't know exactly your career path from growing up. Like, was Forever in Terror your first band? Because I feel like you signed a record deal when you were breastfeeding. Like, how did that happen?
It was a unique story. So I guess to keep it semi-brief, but not brief. So, I was a drummer, actually. That's what I started off doing my whole life since I've been probably 3 years old. I've been just banging pots and pans, playing drums, progressed into that. So when I was in like middle school, high school, of course the band situation, you and your best friends start writing, playing, doing the local thing. And we ended up becoming kind of one of the, not to toot our own horn, but we were like one of the biggest bands in our region. We were drawing, we had a really cool thing happening, MySpace time, all this stuff was going on. And there was this other band right from our region at the same time that was called Seventh Plague. So it was kind of like,
Sounds
there
like
was
a
other
soft
great
rock
bands, but it was kind
band.
of like those two were, head to head, so to speak. We were kind of not enemies, but face off, and wanted to be the best with each other in time. But in time we became great friends in doing so. And this was, early high school, right when things were starting to take off. With like, again, MySpace, all this stuff, whatever. So beyond that, we started playing, and they added a singer switch from Forever in Terror. I ended up jumping into the vocal position from there, and that's when, things took off even further. We had management kind of come on board, and the Metal Blade thing was kind of already even solidified before I came into the picture as the vocalist. But it went fully into the spotlight as I joined, and
What do you mean by
I learned
spotlight, though? Like, I mean, because that could mean
being
Billboard Music
announced,
Awards.
being put out there. We filmed a music video at the time, so the band had done really well by their self locally around here, drawing heads, bringing a bunch of people to shows, really building a buzz as they were before I was in the band. So I don't take any credit, obviously, from what they did. So once that buzz was established, they ended up parting ways with their singer. I ended up kind of coming in, and that's when, again, we did the media, we did the press, we immediately jumped into the studio, recorded a full length for Metal Blade, and that's when it came out, actually, the day we graduated high school.
How are your
It
pa
hit
how are
stores
was everyone
worldwide.
pa everyone's parents? Because I used to work in TV casting, so I dealt with a lot of momagers and dadagers, you know, and so I'm curious as to that dynamic.
It was actually a really unique thing. I'd say all of the parents, although each one, different and had different opinions and thoughts on what could happen, that's actually who had to sign the band's record contract, even, was the parents. So it was a unique thing at that time, but the parents were all about it. They were very supportive, and they could see the passion. I mean, this was a band when I joined it, I was playing locally, and like it was about like smoking cigarettes, having a good time with your buddies, just rocking out. And when I joined this band, like these kids were serious. They practiced practice 6 hours a day. Like, they did not mess around. They wanted this, you know, so bad. And it was like a passion. They had goals. And I had never seen that before, especially at such a young age at that time of like, wow, this is serious. So I think the parents saw that and, you know, they helped fund a lot of things for us, helped get us going. But it was because they saw the true passion and effort going into it. You know, like, for example, we had no money at the time, but we had a tour van. So we would, in between tours,
I mean, vans are expensive.
We had like no money. So, and it was hard to keep a job in between tours. So to get creative, because bands would always be like, oh, we have no money. We don't know how to make money. We would like use the van and create like our own fictional companies essentially, and like go do painting jobs on the side, or go do moving gigs, or like show up with like a weed whacker and a mower and go cut people's grass and like.
Whoa. You're saying this really, really quickly. Say this again slowly, involving the weed whacker and mower. Because I feel like you guys are like the live action version of Lawnmower Man. Like, explain this to me. I'm curious.
Oh, every band will have, you know, a van and trailer, obviously. So it's not being utilized when you're off the road. So mm-hmm. we wanted to find a way to make money from having those, you know, assets at our fingertips at like 18 years, you know, of age, instead of going out and getting a job like waiting tables or something. Our band came together, and what we would do is like print up flyers and go door to door and put flyers like, hey, we can cut your grass, heavy metal mowing company.
Oh,
and we would literally do, you know, we would utilize
that's really smart. That's
put,
really,
you know,
really smart.
Do things like that and earn, you know, to keep the band going at such a young age. And I think that taught us a great value for our future of like business, how to manage money, how to just kind of take care of things further at a younger age.
Well, I mean, I could tell you this. When I was touring, what years were you touring? Because I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 36. I believe you're in your very late 20s, right? I know I fucked up the kid thing, and I said daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'm 29. But we were touring. It was like 2000. I want to say late 2006, 7, okay. 8, a little bit into 2009, I believe even.
Okay, I was touring. I'd say actively for like 2006 into the middle of 2007. And
sure.
What I would do to make money was not as smart as you, but it worked, was when I was home from tour, I would teach guitar lessons. But I did not, you know, do the metal lawnmower service, you know, which I think is really, really smart. And their kids are always complaining. And I say kids because, you know, a lot of the people in bands are young and have no fiscal responsibility.
Right.
I was talking to Fish about this earlier with marriage. I said, stay young as long as you can, kind of like that. And like, it's really great that you guys were self-starters with that idea, because touring's expensive. And I guarantee you the guarantees you guys were making, they weren't, you know, Bentley guarantees. So this is going to help put gas in your tank and shitty fast food in your stomach.
Right, very much so. And because the thing we found is, you know, again, so it was like you could go try to get a job and work, you know, and do in busing. But then it's like the minute we would get that and you get established in doing that, you would have to tell them, oh, by the way, in 3.5 weeks, I'm leaving for the next month. Is that okay? And I come back for 3 weeks. 3 weeks after that, I have to leave for 2 weeks, you know, all this stuff.
They don't want to hire you. They don't want to hire you. You're not stable. Like, why? What kind of an asset would you be if, like, you're so transient and you want to go? So that's awesome. There's a lot of cutout. Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I think I lost him again.
Francis.
Hello, we are back with Waldman's Words. We actually lost Chris because Ohio hates California. I'm going to let that be known 100%. There's this new civil war in America, and California
is going
down. It's begun. I don't know who's a Hatfield and who is a McCoy, but I can tell you that I'm on the Jewish side. So that's all I got here. Anyway, that was fucking funny. I'm proud of myself for that one. So I'm going to pat myself on the back for that. So I guess we have a few minutes. Briefly, I guess you were a Lawnmower Man, but tell me what it was like being so young and so not full of trust fund money on the road. Like, tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely tough at that time. And, you know, again, I guess most people our age were doing things where they could get jobs like bussing tables or, you know, just whatever it may be at that time to earn some extra money. The problem we faced is we never knew when we would kind of have a next tour. You know, we were such a growing band that we had a couple agents helping us. And it was like, you know, hey, you're going out next month for 3 weeks. You're going out here for 2 weeks. So any jobs we could try to get never really wanted to keep us long because of that situation. Like, hey, by the way, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. I'm going to be gone for three, you know, all the situations that kept coming up. So that's how we tried to get creative. And, you know, we just literally, again, I think this was MySpace era. I don't know if Craigslist, I can't remember fully if that had launched yet, but we just would make up different names like, you know, the lawnmower man, and we would just post up flyers and then, you know, put one of our phone numbers and
remember when bands would post flyers, by the way? Do you remember the actual art of flyering? Because right now I feel that that is dead and kids do not I'm going to get on my 36-year-old soapbox for a second. kids do not hustle their product, yet they want Taylor Swift to open for them. I am going to own that. And I mean, I can tell you from experience, I saw Phish's band close out for Taylor Swift, and it was the second best show I've ever seen. But aside from that, you know, like, not everyone's as fortunate and just as blessed in the looks and talent department as Mike Fishkin. So it's a little bit different. So I love that. I don't know. There's just something about a kid who comes from nothing. It's so much of a better story than, yeah, you know, my mom's Barbara Streisand, and I got a record deal at 12. Of course you got a record deal at 12. Like, you're,
I agree.
Congratulations. Like, if you didn't get a record deal at 12 and your mom's Barbara Streisand, you must really suck. So anyway, I'm going to get
off. That's true.
I don't know why I have to confirm the Jewish stereotype every time I open my mouth, because I brought up Barbara Streisand on Idobe. Idobe is not a 56-year-old woman from Scarsdale demographic. It is a little bit different. So I digress. Let's take a short break and get into CB Entertainment. We can get into Mercenary. And I said in the intro, we had Dan Suriff on the show, and he was fucking awesome. And he really likes The Offspring, so that's cool.
No, totally. I love Dan. I mean, he's a great friend, a great mentor, definitely. And always a pleasure to work with him.
He's a good one. I mean, there's a lot of people that I wouldn't say are good ones. So he's a good one. And also, we can talk about what bound the two of us together, literally, besides this show. Because this show was booked before I was even an inkling on the Legend Eye. And now now I'm a part of your company. I'm honored.
No, I'm excited. I'm honored as well to have you a part of it. So I'm excited to dive in and talk a little further about that as well. So
cool. Well, we will dive into it in the current of Ohio. So stick around for Waldman's Words featuring me and featuring Chris. Hang tight. Hello, we are back with Chris Bianchi, founder of Life. Anyway, CB Entertainment. Let's hear about this, because I'm assuming that that stands for Chris Bianchi, unless it stands for Cornbread Entertainment. I don't know. I just came up with that. But, like, that's your baby. I mean, you have a literal baby, and that's your baby company. Baby in terms of being small, but you started it. So tell me all about how that came to be, because I started my own management company called Waldman Management all by myself, you know? So I want
to
hear about
this. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, so it came to the point with Forever in Terror. I think a lot of bands reach kind of that pinnacle. And for us, it all happened so fast and at such a young age. We didn't have time to necessarily grasp everything properly and take it all in and compute. So we had a little bit shorter of a touring life than I would have wanted. But at the end of the day, I got to meet so many incredible bands out on the road, became good friends with so many, and kind of took a few under my wing.
You forged relationships that with a lot of people. No, you got to meet a lot of people, you know, which obviously, to quote Barbara Streisand again, people who need people are the loneliest people in the world. You, without meeting those people, you wouldn't be able to move forward in terms of your professional development. So that really helped you.
Yeah, really. And it came to a point where we were kind of at that end of our touring phase, you know, and everybody was kind of looking into other options of life, be it, you know, getting a job, maybe taking some college courses, things like that. You know, I mean, we were still pretty young of age, I guess, to say, you know, 19, you know, some whatever, 20 years old, still with a life to figure out, basically, you know, after we had discovered, you know, obviously, you know, we never thought or planned like, oh, touring our whole life, but we didn't know what would come next. You know, it was just kind of a go, 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 let's work. So essentially, I wanted to figure out what could I still do in the music industry? How could I still be involved? What would make sense to where I could still do this and eventually, you know, or hopefully make it, I guess, a job? You know, there wasn't a vision of a career even as we started. So one of my best friends in the whole world, who's a local, you know, musician from around here, his name's Brian, Brian Lattman, and we kind of put our heads together, you know, literally just sitting there one day back and forth of talking of ideas like, hey, what could we do to still be involved in the scene? And we kind of came up with the vision to put some shows together. There was a really cool concert club out in our location right by Kent State University called
The
Outpost.
Kent State's where the, I know that that's where, I believe, Drew, is that where the shooting was? I know, yeah, Drew Carey.
That,
yeah,
that
that's what, was that, I mean, let's talk about American history. Was that in the 60s, like Vietnam shooting?
I believe it was. Wow. You know, I don't know the full history of
there?
It, so I won't. I won't say too much. I don't know, but I know like that did happen. It was a big thing, obviously, of course. But yeah, it was right around that time, I believe. And, you know, it's still a thing that people talk about, of course, today. But a lot of cool things around that city, you know, are happening. So at the time, there wasn't really anybody booking shows or bringing any national bands through or doing it. Anything. And this was, I don't know the exact year. I mean, this wasn't crazy long ago, but about 7 years ago. So we found a club that we could work with and we figured out, hey, we could rent the club.
What was the name of the club? Like, what?
This was the Outpost Concert Club, and it's thriving really greatly today. So
who comes there now? Place. Like, would you say like national acts come there or international acts? Like, how is that in 2017?
Okay. So we have, again, to not go at too crazy with our stories. I have so many, but literally some
we
of the
only
first
have
bands,
83 hours, you know, so like we have a certain
some of the first thing. Artists that we booked through there, number one was 21 Pilots. So
oh, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. So, and that was literally, they came and played the most fucking incredible set I've almost ever seen for like 12 people. I mean, they destroyed the place. And then, you know, 3-4 months later, I wake up one morning and they're on MTV, and it was just on from there. But that was one artist of many. Another one we've got.
They're from Ohio, though, right? Aren't they from Columbus? I think so, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were from Columbus or Cincinnati. So we got to see them kind of on the rise and book them and work with them, you know, in the early day, which is really cool.
I saw them at the Troubadour in L.A., actually, their very first Los Angeles show. And this was just when their debut FBR record, Vessel, came out. And,
sure.
Like, I thought they were cool. Like, I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of, like, if Eminem joined Fun. That's what I described it as. And I went to the show, and I'm just telling you this. Like, I see a lot of shows, like, even before, like, I was doing this radio stuff, before I was doing management, like, I was a fan before I even, like, gigged myself. And so I've seen a lot of bands. They are masters of their domain live.
Totally. And that's a story I'll never stop telling people. I mean, I'm not the bragging type, but when it comes up, it's like, so I remember literally talking to Josh, the drummer, you know, when we had them through, I think it was, I forget how long ago, but you know, the buzz was building, but it wasn't fully there yet. And I specifically remember, you know, we had just started the company, and I approached him and I was like, hey man, you know, I love what you guys are doing. I don't know if you have anybody, but I'd love to like help represent you, you know, work with you guys or whatever. And at the time, I think they already had somebody that was helping them.
Did they have Element One? Because it's funny, is actually a dude that was, I mean, if we're going to do this, I don't consider this like name dropping. I consider it's like telling a story that actually has fragments and makes sense. But just before this, I actually had coffee with this dude, Daniel Rubin, who's awesome. And he was on the show, and he works for the company that manages 21 Pilots. He actually manages I the Mighty, Eric Ron, the producer, who is like destroying it right now and too close to
totally.
Touch. So there you go. Everyone's connected, man.
It really is. So, I mean, it was a cool thing. So that's where we kind of got the CB thing started, you know, was booking shows locally, helping bands. And that's where we started meeting some touring nationals coming through, kind of building our rapport up. And that's kind of how the CB moniker came. It was just Chris and Brian, CB. Now, Brian eventually over time, you know, kind of stepped away. He has a few other businesses he's involved in, and he's, you know, a musician as well. So it's like, you know, the company has become kind of mine, so to speak, but he's still a part of it. You know, he still puts shows on. We have some really awesome shows coming up even in still at that same club. So, you know, we're still true to helping the local scene the best we can and bringing shows through and doing stuff like that. So,
well, I mean, I fucked up because I thought you had 83 children, all of which had different genders. And I also thought that CB stood for Chris Bianchi because that would make sense. But
right,
I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm like over yes. 2. I haven't gotten a single fucking thing right. Anyway.
but yeah, I mean, that's something too. You know, we just need it. So the story, I mean, I love telling of like, so when we started booking and stuff, I came off the road. I was broke. I mean, my parents, you know, and stuff weren't giving me tons of money. I mean, I wasn't like, again, a trust fund kid. And same story with Brian, my partner at that time. So it was like, literally all I had to my name was like my bedroom and a broken laptop that barely worked. And this is true, I swear on everything. A broken laptop.
I have yet
that
to
barely
accuse
worked.
You of Chris. I have yet to accuse you of lying on the show.
This laptop like was missing keys. It didn't even hardly connect to internet. I had to have like one of those Wi-Fi cards.
I had to walk both ways to school uphill, dude.
Yeah,
both ways.
Yeah, and when we like were first booking, you know, the first 3 months we worked off of like this shitty laptop that just barely connected to Wi-Fi, and we could just like type, you know, not even full things because the Q key was missing and all this stuff and whatever. But like as things grew, you know, we were able to like make a little bit of money, and instead of keeping that, you know, for ourselves, obviously we invested back into bringing some more shows, eventually got, you know, a better laptop, figured out some marketing. But along the way, it's really been just a learning curve. You know, there was no college training, there was no hands-on anything, and still to this day, you know, we're always learning. I'm always yep. learning. You can never stop learning, obviously, but that's what's brought us to, you know, just where we are today.
I don't trust anyone who claims to know it all, because
yeah, of course, you know, and I think, you know, it's been a wild ride. I think we're at like 13 record deals now that I've signed.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there's a multitude of different options and things and ways that they've come to be, but I think we're at somewhere around that number now. And you know, we've had artists out playing, you know, again, like Warped Tour and Dirt Fest and mm-hmm. South by Southwest and Rock Fest, Rocklahoma. I mean, some of the biggest things. So it's been just a really proud achievement, you know, a proud dad moment, so to speak, to see.
Oh,
these
no, you
grow
are. It's a paternal role, man. I don't have any literal children, but I have about 730 little babies. So I get
exactly.
it. I completely understand it. And what's funny is because you obviously mentioned a whole bunch of festivals, I'm going to discuss something that made me smile. Was you have a picture with Rob from Metallica / Suicidal Tendencies / Ozzy Osbourne. So that made
sure.
me smile. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a really awesome experience to meet him. He was a super polite guy, you know, really, really cool and chill. And that was actually, I got to meet him at Dime Bash, which is a whole nother story.
Is that Pantera?
I don't want to talk too much about it. It was a crazy night, but there was some great people there. So it was a really, really cool experience.
All right, well, then let's pivot away from Dime Bash. So basically, yeah, right now we have about 12, 13 more minutes left. So briefly, before we get into the juice of this with Legend, tell me about Mercenary, because you work for them now too.
Yeah, it's kind of been a growing situation there as well. You know, it's been more of an assisting type of situation, and somewhere where, again, it's allowed me to get my feet wet, to learn a lot more, to ask questions, and to grow and be a part of such a incredible team that, you know, I'm forever blessed and thankful for. So, you know, that kind of stems back to, I have a really good friend who was the head of video for Cimmerian Records, and he's the guy that actually filmed our music video. His name's Frankie Nasso, and we go.
What's up, Frankie Nasso? Frankie Nasso,
yeah, yeah.
Shout out.
He's out of Staten Island.
But, they do not have an annoying accent there. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, no.
Yeah. But yeah, so Frankie ended up connecting me to Ash over at Cimmerian, and you know, at that time, Mercenary and Cimmerian were sharing offices, so I got to go hang out with Frankie, meet the Cimmerian crew, and ended up meeting with Blasco and just kind of introducing over there with Dan Seriff as well, a couple other people briefly.
For those listening, just explain, I know we said this on the Seriff show, and not everyone knows who Blasco is, so I guess in 2 sentences or less... which, I mean, this is so cool to me. say who Blasco, 2 sentences or less, and these sentences cannot have, like, multiple commas and semicolons. Tell me about Blasco.
Oh, man. Blasco is the ultimate cool rock and roll dude. I don't even know.
That's one sentence. One more thing, though, specifics, because what I'm thinking is Ozzy Osbourne, but I want to hear your specifics.
I mean, for me, it would be, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and Rob Zombie. But at the end of the day, more so than that, the greatest mentor, you know, and someone that I owe almost everything to at the end of the day. So that's the best way I could put it about him.
That's
not
nice.
Words or
that's I mean, I could hear the sincerity in your voice, and that makes me. I've never met him. The only people at Mercenary I met are you and Dan, and I've heard really great things about him, and obviously his work speaks for itself. So you're in really totally. You're in really good hands. Before we go to Legend, is there anything else you want to say about, you know, Blasco, Dan, or Mercenary that you think
yeah, I mean, worth essentially mentioning? It's just been somewhere where it's allowed me to, again, continue growing, and again, I'll forever be thankful and always represent that team, you know, and especially Blasco as well. You know, it's kind of like a record label takes a chance on a new band. You know, he took a chance on me to kind of allow me to meet more people, grow, further thrive, and try to get my feet wet beyond a localness in the industry. So, you know, again, just forever thankful for that crew.
Well, speaking of a record label taking a chance on a band, we could talk about this off camera. Anyway, let's discuss Legend, because to me right now, we are living Legends. Zing. Tell me about everything Boom. Having to do with it, because as it stands right now, there's this band called Go Ask Alice who's up to some cool stuff. So I want to hear everything about it from its inception in 8.5 minutes to whatever. Like, I really want, I mean, we might not even have time to talk about the fact that you're a father and husband. And I know that that
is
your ultimate priority. My top priority in life is being the best husband I can be to Kelly.
Of course.
But number two, and it's a close number two, is conquering this fucking stupid industry. Anyway, you're up.
Sure. No, completely. I agree with that tenfold. Without family, it's like, what's it all worth? What's it all mean? You know, $1 billion or a cent. So that's definitely important to me. But at the end of the day, now, so Legend Recordings is a dream. You know, it's a baby of mine and now ours, you know, with the team that we're building here, that it's just somewhere that I think it felt like it was the right time, the right approach to take, you know, with being in the management field, growing from first a musician, beyond that into, you know, a booking field for a while, and beyond that into, you know, the management role and development role with so many great artists, and kind of learning the wheels and the curves, so to speak, of the industry and how it works. You know, the one thing that I just got tired of, and this is a similar situation with a few other things, the example, merchandising. So I started my own merchandising company, but not to get off subject, but so
no,
I
it's on subject. It's actually on subject, believe it or not. If you said I started my own cotton candy company, and I'd be like, okay, dude, like, that's awesome and that's literally sweet, but we could talk about something else, even though, like,
yeah,
this show is sponsored by Caffeine and Tangents. So,
right. But yeah, so with it, I was just tired of waiting around. You know, I had so many great projects come across my plate, whether I represented them for management or even just helping them get their bearings for development, or even beyond that, just as a fan of hearing it. I was tired of waiting around trying to pitch this to other people and make them believe in what I saw in the artist. So
what you quote unquote knew, what you know, yeah, like, it's right in front of you. And there are certain gatekeepers that, you know, are afraid to take a chance on something. And I get it. You know, I understand from an economic perspective, but sometimes
right,
cojones
completely
need to happen. So,
And it came to a point, you know, the industry has changed so drastically. And I want to say for a good way. A lot of people think everything is, you know, a bad way. I think it's just how you view it and how you're willing to adapt within what changes are coming and happening and current. So with that being said, it's just like figuring out how can we adapt and further proceed, you know, in our own lane while still fitting in with what else is going on. You know, I'm all a fan of playing nice and doing that, but it's like, I don't want to wait for other people. I don't want to wait for their exception or, you know, pat on the back or anything. It's just like, I want to make our own lane and put out what we think is good and do what we want to do and just have our own voice, and be it heavy metal or be it, you know, rockabilly or folk or whatever it might be. Just help nurture them to the best of our abilities. And again, you know, whether they stick with us or we do take them to maybe a bigger label in time or somewhere where they can continue growing, you know, is the vision is just to help bring great art and music, you know, to the world that moves us. And the thing that stands out to me about with the Legend project here, not to keep rambling, but
just
is like,
going, buddy,
I want to work with music that gives myself and other people goosebumps. You know, there's a lot of music you can just hear, you take it in, and it's just whatever. But like, I want the story. I want bands that have like the grit. They worked for something. They were living in their car, and you know,
well,
it
goes back to what we were
like,
saying. Goes back to what we were saying with the Born and Bred. You know, like working
right
for it and owning it, and I guess developing your own, like building your own sandwich from scratch.
Of
so
course,
I get
of
it.
Of course, and I think that stands out. And even to myself, like, more than social media numbers, more than streams, more than sales or what you're doing or anything. Like, if you have a killer story and I can just like see that with who you are, and then the music plays, even if it's a shittily recorded demo, I don't care. You know, I don't care if you have 8 likes on Facebook or 8 billion likes.
Which they might have paid for, which might be contrived.
So it's like, if I just hear it, feel it, we can believe in it and think we can do something with it and bring it to the world and help them connect. You know, I mean, music is like that one universal relatable thing in some way, shape, or form for people to escape from. So, you know, it's like an honor for us to try to take this path and help other people connect further, relate, and actualize their dreams.
You know, for me, when I manage a client, and I said this to you verbatim, and I actually spoke with Kristen on the phone recently, like this week twice, actually, which is more than I've ever spoken with her, because we literally just met. And the reason we met was because I posted a picture on Waldman's Words of Dan, and that's how we met, and then we end up working together, yada yada yada. And she's really cool and she's really driven, and I obviously, yeah, social media numbers are great, you know, like I want a band to have a strong viral presence, I want them to have a huge fan base, but at the end of the day, I am not going to work with something on the label front or the management front for producers or artists that I'm not 100% behind. Like, if there's any trepidation whatsoever, boom, I can't do it. Because...
Yeah. I mean, it's just not worth the, you know, the hassle, the stress, the anything. I mean, it's really not, you know, if you don't believe in it, so...
Yep, and honestly, this is so new. I know it's new to you, too, but it's newer to me because I just joined the team. I'm, like, the newest member, and I'm so excited. I've been listening to so many different bands, and hopefully soon we will be able to have something actually come to fruition. But I'm really, really, again, thankful, honored, and excited about this partnership. And we might be able to take this very far. So
Yeah, same very much. And again, with that being said, anybody who's listening, manager, agent, band members, anybody, if you have music that you want to share, you know, please do get it to Scott and share it. You know, we definitely want to hear it and listen to everything. I mean, I always want to hear stuff, you know, I'm never opposed to whatever it may be to just see. But with that, give us a story, you know,
and pitch well, because we've discussed this on the show many times, and I actually posted a tweet recently, as in like this week, which was, you only get one chance to make a first impression. So imagine you're meeting someone and the very first thing they say to you is like pretty much like, do me a favor and listen to this, or listen to this. And it's just, there's a smart, obviously one thing that I do for Chris might not work well for Fish. Everyone is different, but nobody wants to feel like an object, no matter who you are. So when you're submitting to Chris or Kristen, or Chris and Kristen, both people named for Christ, when you're submitting to Chris and Kristen and Scott the Jew, you must just please, A, first of all, be grammatically correct. That's a pet peeve for me. And second of all, less is more, and be humble, but be confident and do it. Just be smart, because I mean, I'm not the head of, you know, Capitol Records A&R, but I still get a lot of these. Like as soon as you guys announced that I'm a part of Legend, I got a lot of stuff, you know, and I'm not even any
of course.
Before that, you know, as a manager or as a guy in a band, and I sincerely do like appreciate that someone even gives a shit enough to contact me, and that it's very flattering, and I do listen, but I'm not an object. Anyway, does that make sense? Was that like a really...
It does.
Okay, cool.
No, that does. That definitely does. And I see where you're coming from with it. So it makes complete sense. And I'm looking forward to hearing any new artists that'll come through, especially if you sound like Glassjaw.
No, he's not kidding. Glassjaw is awesome. I'm going to say this on air, even though I said this to you privately. I was at the Silence CD release show.
I know. Forever will be jealous of that.
I get it. I understand why you would be. But it's funny. We're going to close out in a few. But no, this is because Fish, to my right, you know, he has a far more successful Adobe show than I have. And basically, you should see some of the stuff he's told me about people like who just are so entitled that they think that they should be on his show like immediately.
Right.
And it's messed up. And there's good and bad ways to do business. And a bad way is to be entitled and assume that the world owes you something.
So. Yeah, completely agree. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about being polite, number one. I mean, and that's, you know, it goes with anything in life, but I could not agree beyond that with the music industry especially. It's so nice to work with polite people and just people that are cool and you know, just get it instead of assholes. I cannot stand when you run into those just jerks and entitled people or just people who are, like, not happy about what they're doing. And I just wonder every time I run into those people, like, what made you so unhappy? You have, like, the coolest fucking job in the world. You know, you get to be a rock star or this person or, you know, work with this or do anything really cool. You could be at a factory all day every day or shoveling shit for a job.
I know.
Like, then I can see why you're mad. You know,
but even if you did shovel actual feces all day, you could still be a nice person.
That's true, though. Completely true. 100%.
So let's end on this shitty note. So please, I guess, give... all your socials or have the best way to get a hold of you if you know, or just check out your Instagram. You are verified on Twitter. You and Fish are so much cooler than I am. You're both verified on Twitter. And so just give yourself, I guess, the elevator pitch on how people can get a hold of you and follow you. And then, we will call it a day.
Yeah, 100%. So the best way I would say, and where I do the most updating, is probably Instagram, which would just be ChrisBianchi1.
I could pronounce your name wrong, too. I thought it was Chris Bianchi. See, I'm like, dude, I am such a fucking fuck-up. Anyway, continue.
but yeah, you could just find, you know, it's a simple search, I guess, depending. But, yeah, you can find anything. The easiest place to go is legendrecordings.co, and we have a contact form on there even, and that stuff will all directly make its way to me. So that's the best way to find, or, you know, even Google, I guess, would make sense. You know, we can always find each other and connect. Chris Bianchi. Let me spell the last name. B-I-A-N-C-H-I.
Is that an Italian last name?
It is.
Okay, so I got something right. So let's end on that note. Arrivederci, Chris. Thank you so much. And be on the lookout for a phone call from me in approximately a few minutes. Again,
can't wait.
You're right. You literally cannot wait. You literally can't even. So the next few weeks... Like I said in the beginning, we've got Buck Foley of Riot Fest, who manages a band called Sleep On It. We've got Mike. Hey, Fishkin, how do you pronounce his last name?
Hubilos.
Hubilos, who is a PR god. The following week, we've got Zach.
Mike Rolls.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like, sincerely, such a sweet dude. We've got Zach Falco at CG Entertainment, who is a booking agent. And then the following week, we've got Ray Rolden, who is another PR guy. So... Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, not like jizzing on the show, but thank you so much for being a part of this show. I'm really, really happy. And I hope that everyone listening learns a little bit something, because you have quite a storied past, and hopefully our future together will change both of our lives for the better. So thank you.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you again so much for having me. I look forward to checking out the show. And thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.